Welcome to the Vision Driven Marriage Podcast. If you're struggling in your marriage, or maybe you're wondering if it's even salvageable, before you give up or before you let things get too hard, let us come alongside you and help you solidify your marriage. We offer biblical encouragement and insight to help you strengthen your marriage. Welcome to the Vision Driven Marriage Podcast. We're Doug and Leslie Davis, and today, as we continue to look at how to play the long game as a couple, we're going to be looking at the top three things that keep couples from being able to play the long game.
Yeah, so pay attention, because if you see any of these three things happening in your relationship, it's definitely time to take notice, because you still have time to make some changes.
Right. And these aren't the only three things that could make you feel like bailing out early, but they're three of the most common things that cause people to think, you know, I'm not sure if I can be in this for the long haul. Good news is you can be. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of the things that can keep you from feeling like you can do this for the long haul.
No surprise. The first one is communication breakdowns.
Yeah. And we see this a lot. I know that there's people who come to talk to me. There's people who come to talk to Leslie. And communication is an issue. Now, just like with most of the other things that we deal with as a couple, you have to realize that you need to focus on your own communication. Mm-hmm. And the communication's more than just talking. I've met so many couples who are really, really good at talking at each other.
Yeah.
But they're not communicating because there's no listening mm-hmm. going on.
Active listening is a really good skill to work on implementing in your relationship. And what I mean by active listening is when you can reflect back what your spouse is saying to you and embody what you're hearing, then your spouse has an opportunity to correct it. No, that's not what I meant to say. Here's what I mean, so that you can be on the same page. So active listening is very, very, a very, very good, important skill to have in your relationship.
Right. And communication can break down for so many different reasons. It could be that you're just not listening. You're not taking the time. It could be that you're not speaking clearly because you're concerned that somehow if you speak the whole truth too much, that it won't be received. Let me just warn you that if there's something you need to say, say it. It's always going to be better to work through what's true than to tiptoe around the truth, because then there's a lack of understanding for a really difficult reason. But what we're going to be looking at today are some of the things that can cause communication breakdown that, if not checked, if not wrangled in, mm-hmm. can really be cataclysmic in your relationship.
And I think one of the things to set into motion first is a commitment that the relationship is going to be a priority.
Yeah.
So that when you see these four things, we're going to go over four things of ways that communication can break down. But when you see these things and you go, oh, that felt bad, but my relationship is a priority, so I'm going to press into it and make sure that it gets worked through. The first one is criticism. We mm-hmm. always hear and feel criticism. I mean, it, and I don't mean always, but what I mean by that is every relationship experiences right. criticism at one point or another. I know in our relationship, I was, you know, coming out of my childhood, I was 19 when we met, so I was still a child.
mm-hmm. Just a baby.
And I was bent towards hearing criticism because that was the atmosphere in which I was raised. And so he would say something benign mm-hmm. and I would hear it as a criticism.
Right.
And at that time, we didn't really have good active listening skills. For me to reflect back and say, I heard that as a criticism. Did you mean it that way?
Right.
Or here's what I heard you say. You know, is that what you meant? We didn't have that skill right. in place.
But you know, we're very thankful that we developed that skill, but so there is hope. You can develop it, but there's two different ways that criticism can enter in and create a roadblock, not a roadblock that can't be overcome. It can be overcome,
mm-hmm.
but if left unchecked,
well, like a
it
bump
can be,
in the road.
But if it's left unchecked, it's bad. And so there's two different ways. The first one's what Leslie just described, where every relationship will have a comment from time to time that either is criticism and it was difficult to work through, or it was something that was an innocent comment that was heard
as criticism.
And so when you have those days, you know, the majority of your days, you're going to have things that went really well. You're going to have things that could be corrected. It's good to share those things. Don't be afraid to be critical of the areas that need to be critical. And working through those things will be healthy and good for you.
I think one of the things there is that in a mature relationship, right, what you see is that humility in asking for, yeah, that help and saying, hey, how can I right, get better? And how, you know, at that point that it doesn't become criticism, right? Like that's right, how you work together.
Well, it's critical.
Yeah, but
we,
not
we think
criticism.
About, you know, because we think about the word criticism as negative or, mm-hmm, nagging, and critical is evaluating it so we can do it differently. And so maybe if you differentiate between the two words, we want to encourage you to be critical. You know, this is something that we did in a way, we can do it better. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about it. But if criticism automatically brings up negative connotations for you, then instead look at how can we talk about doing something better. But the other way that criticism can come in, we have natural tendencies within us to let the things that have gone on through our day affect our mood. And so, you know, you may have something that had nothing to do with your relationship at home happen at work. But you went through...
Wait, what? Who does that?
Right. So you go through a series of events that have caused you to start to see the world with a little bit of a negative tilt. And, you know, because the real truth is nearly every day, there's something good that happens to you and there's something bad that happens to you. And, you know, when those days are balanced out, we can navigate them pretty well. But sometimes you have a day where you have one good thing and 1,000 bad things happen and your mood is just negative. And so if you come home with a critical heart or a critical spirit, it might have nothing to do with what's going on in your relationship, but it's going to feel to your spouse like it does. Mm-hmm. And so being able to navigate the fact that because I'm having bad experiences over and over and over again in my job or while I'm going to school or whatever it is that's outside of your sphere of relationship, if you let that taint the way you see things throughout your relationship as well, you can have a pessimistic attitude, a negative attitude, even though there's also good things to look at. And so don't be afraid of the things that you get to fix just because, mm-hmm, it might seem critical. But at the same time, check your heart and make sure that you're not having a consistently negative attitude about things, because that's where criticism, mm-hmm, comes in and causes people to feel like kind of shutting down.
Yeah. I got an exclamation point too, along those same lines. When you come into your relationship and you're feeling criticized, mm-hmm, right, there's times when you're asking for that critical, analytical kind of thinking and being able to humbly move into those types of conversations saying, okay, this is what we can do better, right? Right? But if that humbleness isn't there, or in that humility, you're not the one that started that conversation, mm-hmm, then what's going to ensue is a level of defensiveness.
That's the second, mm-hmm, thing that can lead to a communication breakdown. It's pretty easy to get defensive if you feel like you're being attacked.
Yeah.
So what exactly does that do?
Well, defensiveness will shut things down. Will shut down the communication because, like, let's say your spouse is coming at you with some criticism, not critical analytical communication, but some, right, criticism. And you immediately become defensive in those, mm-hmm, situations. At that point, it's me against him or him against me. You know, mm-hmm, it's not us together,
right,
against the problem. So that's what defensiveness does. It divides the team and makes the communication the problem, mm-hmm, instead of whatever they're trying to work on. You know, whatever, right, you're trying to work on, it's not you as a cohesive, right, couple against the problem.
Right. And if you're talking about something that you're trying to fix together and you're discussing what went wrong, not placing any blame,
no blame,
you,
right,
you can check your own heart and, you know, and just ask, am I feeling defensive without cause? Because sometimes we do feel defensive, even though it's not about what we did. It's about the circumstance and the situation and what as a couple we could do differently. So if that's the case, you can check your heart and say, I'm being defensive for no reason. However, there are times where things are made to feel very personal. It triggers defensiveness. And in that case, I want to ask that you, as the spouse who's triggering the defensiveness in your spouse, think about, am I talking about the situation or am I trying to assign blame? Because if I'm assigning blame, instead of looking at how can we do this differently,
that's going to trigger
defensiveness. It's going to trigger a lot of defensiveness, and it can trigger an absolute shutdown.
Absolutely. And that absolute shutdown leads to the heart issue of contempt. And that's the third thing that we want to talk about. And if any of this sounds familiar, you probably have followed us for some time. We had an episode in the very beginning, so it's probably about a year ago.
Probably.
Where we talked about Gottman's four horsemen, and these are them: criticism, defense, contempt, which is what we're getting ready to explain, and stonewalling.
Right.
And the Gottman Institute has studied these four things, and the one thing that he's concluded, like the big thing, is that when you have these four horsemen at play in your relationship, it is 90% sure that your relationship is going to end up in separation or divorce. Right. Because these things are left unchecked.
Right.
Are very dangerous.
Right. And so the good news is each of them can be overcome. Mm-hmm. But if left unchecked, it's going to be bad for you. So contempt is one of those things where you start to feel like things are happening so often. I'm defending myself so often, or I'm constantly facing criticism. You start to look at the one that you love so dearly. You said, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And you start saying, oh, great. Here it comes again. You know, they're just going to say bad things about me. It's my fault.
And I think it's even deeper than that. I think there's a bitter root of unforgiveness.
I do too.
There, because of all of the history of the defensiveness and criticism, like those two things kind of work together back and forth, like this cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this level of unforgiveness that just creates a bitter root of contempt. The word that comes to mind is hatred. And like contempt left unchecked is going to ensue to this type of hatred. And I don't have another word for that.
And it leads to so many statements that just aren't true, because they're all or nothing statements. You always do this, or I'm never able to, you know, be good enough. Mm-hmm. And contempt brings out things that make us feel like something's absolute when it's not. And it can cause you to feel like there's no hope. There is hope, but it can cause you to feel like there's not. And, you know, the other thing with contempt that really, really can negatively affect your relationship is when you start to look at your spouse thinking, okay, today was a good day because they didn't criticize me. Mm-hmm. But in your heart, you're expecting them to. You've preloaded your contempt. It's like when you get one of those gift cards and they load some money onto it. You've preloaded this contempt and you're just expecting it. It's going to happen. And that's a really, really dangerous way to live your life. Leslie talked about it's a bitter root type of judgment. Maybe the way for you to picture it is this: it's a wound that's deep. And when you don't feel like you've had to express the contempt for a while, it starts to heal over a little bit. But when you haven't dealt with it, it never heals fully. It's a scab. Mm-hmm. And the very next time something happens where you rake that scab, it bleeds all over again. And so contempt becomes dangerous because there's never any real healing. You can fool yourself into thinking it's been several days since I've actively felt this. But without dealing with it, it's still right there at the surface, and all it takes is a little scratch. And it's back.
And you mentioned something that kind of leads us into the fourth one, is that contempt will lead to hopelessness.
Yeah.
And when you become hopeless, then you tend to start stonewalling, like just totally shutting down, shutting your spouse out, not talking about it, not trying, like totally disconnecting. Mm-hmm. And that's a really bad place to be, for sure.
And you can convince yourself wrongly when you're stonewalling that, well, I'm just making sure that we get along. You know, my spouse is yelling at me. My spouse is yelling at me. And I'm just, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm fine.
They deserve that.
Right. And so in the process of stonewalling, it can be active or it can be passive stonewalling. Mm-hmm. If it's passive stonewalling, you're just saying, okay, and you're not really listening. Mm-hmm. You're just agreeing because then the yelling will stop. That's a really dangerous place to be because you're not actually fixing anything. You're just trying to placate. And when you placate, it feeds the contempt. So stonewalling doesn't just bring an end to the argument. It also feeds and fuels the contempt that caused it.
Yeah. So those are some behaviors and some ways that communication can break down. And that was the first thing in the top three things that keep couples from playing the long game. Right. The second thing is unmet expectations. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to add unspoken there too. You probably heard us talk before about unmet expectations.
Right.
Because more often than not, when there is a communication breakdown or a difficulty in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
maybe more often than not, it has to do with unmet expectations.
Right.
And guys, there's always going to be unmet expectations.
Right.
Like, that's common. That's kind of normal, but where it moves into the unfair playing field is when they're unspoken. You've heard the old adage, well, yeah. He can't read my mind, you know, though he's supposed to.
He can't.
Right? The reason why we have that adage is because there's unmet, unspoken expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And it is never fair to have unspoken expectations for your spouse.
Right. And, you know, we were looking at Gottman's Four Horsemen, and in the process of all of those things we talked about, there will be times where you have an expectation that has been communicated and it isn't met as well. And we know that that can lead to a real breakdown within your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions that we've asked ourselves and talked about lately is, what's the difference between reminding and nagging? Let me go ahead and give you a husband's perspective here. Okay, because if there's an expectation that has been properly communicated, we all know that sometimes stuff gets in the way. Sometimes you get so busy with what you're doing, you really just forgot. Sometimes it's not because it's unimportant. It's because you were so distracted, your brain was going 1,000 miles an hour and you missed it. Those times, we all know it's helpful and it's good to be able to remind one another of, you know, hey, we said we were going to do this. Can we do that now? And did you notice that if it's, hey, this is something we agreed to do, let's do this, that never feels like nagging. What it feels like nagging is, you said you were going to do that and you didn't.
Yeah. Well, haven't you done that by now?
And so reminding though is, hey, do you still have time to get to that today? Is not nagging. That's a reminder. That's a blessing. But it's not just those expectations that have been communicated. Leslie mentioned the big one that we see so often, where you expect something, but you never said it. But it's important to you. Really important to you. And you didn't say it. And you expect your spouse somehow to just know. Guys, she doesn't just know. Ladies, He doesn't just know.
Right.
And so what we do is we set ourselves up for hurt, real hurt, mm-hmm. deep hurt, that then causes us to believe things that are lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then my wife doesn't do something that I really wanted her to do, but I never told her. She doesn't do it, but it was really important to me. And I convince myself, even though it's never been true, well, if she loved me, she would have done that. So she must not love me. We know that's not true. Do you see the danger of having something that you really want and not communicating it? Please, if you have an expectation, don't let it go unvoiced.
Mm-hmm.
Share it. Even if it's going to take a while before it can be met, share it so that in the future it can be met.
Or if it's unreasonable
or unrealistic,
right, then you can talk about it and both be on the same page about
right.
it and find something that is realistic, find
right.
something that is reasonable, that still accomplishes the goal
right.
without undermining the relationship.
Right. You know, because there's things that, you know, if Leslie would ask me to do certain things, there's things I cannot do.
There are things
right?
you can't do?
I know. Don't, you know.
Don't burst my bubble.
You know, whether it's because we don't have the resources to do it or, you know, don't have the talent or the ability to do it. And those things need to be communicated too, because sometimes things are unrealistic. But what Leslie just said is so important. you can have the communication to say, I want to be able to do for you the things that I can do and still be able to get that sense of belonging and purpose and hope and love and care and concern that the original expectation would have brought if it had been fulfilled. So talk about it. So if it's unrealistic, you can go into the real world. If it's been spoken and not been done, you can communicate in a way that's helpful and reminding, not nagging. And if something really matters to you, it's unfair to leave it unspoken and expect it to get done.
I think I have a whole Pinterest list that you would consider unreasonable.
Yes. And by the way, whoever invented Pinterest is just evil. That's just evil.
Just kidding. No, not, no. We love our Pinterest boards, don't we? I love it. Well, the third thing that keeps couples from playing the long game, and this won't surprise you either, it is a lack of intimacy.
You might be thinking just physical intimacy, and of course that's important, but it's not just that. It's emotional intimacy, and I'm going to tell you, spiritual intimacy too.
Friendship intimacy.
And you know, and there's so many ways that you can build those big three categories through friendship, through recreation,
intimacy,
right? But you know, when you focus on those big three of physical, emotional, and spiritual, then all of those other little subcategories fall into them. And feed them. But if you don't have emotional intimacy, you're not going to have the desire to have physical intimacy and vice versa. And as believers, you need spiritual intimacy, not only between yourself and the Lord, but as a couple, between the two of you as a couple and the Lord. And it's going to feed the desire to be intimate in every area of your life.
This is just one of those mysteries of the gospel that there's no easy way to explain. It's just a mystery. But when you work on your own spiritual intimacy and your spouse is working on their own spiritual intimacy, your intimacy as a couple, your physical intimacy as a couple, your emotional intimacy as a couple, and your spiritual intimacy as a couple, it's all going to grow.
Right.
And it's one of those things where you might not even have to really work on it, but you work on your own spiritual intimacy and your spouse commits to work on their own spiritual intimacy. And God is going to honor that and God is going to bless that in your marriage.
Now, it will grow, but that doesn't mean it will go from infanthood to adulthood
overnight,
in a day.
Right,
but it will grow. And as it grows, you're going to see
celebrate
the blessings.
Celebrate those. Yeah, celebrate those blessings.
Right, you'll see the blessings of that growth. And, you know, one of the things that we hear so often, just because it's stereotypically so true, is something that we need to just address real quickly. If you feel like you don't have enough physical intimacy, gentlemen, ask God to show you whether you have the proper emotional intimacy with your wife. Ladies, if you feel like you don't have enough emotional intimacy with your husband, ask yourself if you're having proper physical intimacy with your husband. Not that they're completely connected, but they're connected in a degree. They're connected in a way that God expects us to be one in every way. And if while we're struggling in one area, we withhold in another area, we're actually moving further away from intimacy rather than toward it. Please don't misunderstand that. Gentlemen, just because you're perhaps being more physically intimate doesn't mean you don't need to also increase and improve your emotional intimacy, and ladies, vice versa. If he's being more emotionally intimate, it doesn't mean you don't also need to increase your physical intimacy. But what I'm saying is you want to make steps to move toward intimacy in every area of your life, not away from it.
And the caveat there is that we're generalizing about a couple that are both emotionally and physically healthy.
Right.
You know, there's some there's some situations that are going to be, you know, outliers of the norm. And if you're in one of those situations, I would say give yourself some grace.
Yes.
If you need counseling, find a counselor. If you need a mentor, find a mentor. Because there's no shame in having someone come along beside us and help us through some of those times.
No, as a matter of fact, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not just something not to be ashamed of. It's something that's such a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
When you can have somebody else walk beside you. And so, again, the patience that comes through the process and the mercy that's given as well as the grace that's given is something that's going to help you, if you're feeling a lack of intimacy, be able to identify your own heart first. Where do I need to be more intimate? And then working together as a couple. But with all three of these things that could stand in the way of playing the long game the way you should, with each one of them. It's going to start with your own heart. Mm-hmm. Check to see where it is that you can do the things that you're wanting to do a little better than you've been. And then start coming together as a couple to figure out how you can do that together.
I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. If you are struggling with any of these things or any of these things kind of hit home for you, we would love to hear from you. Yep. Catch us on social media. You can DM us or send us an email. We would just love to be able to connect with you.
This is the Vision Driven Marriage Podcast. We're Doug and Leslie Davis. Today we've been looking at the top three things that can keep couples from playing the long game in their relationship. But we are excited about the fact that God overcomes those things, yes. And we continue to pray that God will solidify your marriage.